Now I'm seeing Max. I don't want to give up his OPSEC, but he's just not in the studio.
No, he just texted again. He says he's on Skype.
He's on Skype. He is on Skype. But I think we can call Marco first, right? Right, Cameron?
Oh, Max is calling in from some obscure new handle. Did you get it?
No, but I think he can wait. I think he can. You know, he has made us wait a few times. I think it's all right.
Are you talking about Max?
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, I want to talk to Marco right away. You can tell it's an ultra wide. I read that as ultra wide bottom.
Oh yeah, I got a lot of thumb in photo now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I almost had a pop socket in the photo the other day.
Not good. Yeah.
Have you noticed on Upgrade it has been Alex shaming for the past few weeks?
I noticed that. I'm so confused about. Are we doing a podcast? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a bit of a bit. Cameron, is he coming?
Ongoing call. Is that us?
Yeah.
What?
Marco Arment unavailable. Ooh.
It might not be him. He's not responding in Slack. He might be dead. I asked him in Slack. See, I think I'm shadow banned. Is that producer Cameron?
Yes, this is producer Cameron.
Cameron, have I been shadow banned? Because I keep texting everybody trying to organize this fucking late mission to talk about flashlights. No one, have I been shadow banned? Oh my God, you're not responding. Holy shit.
Everything's fine.
I texted Marco on Skype. I texted Marco in Slack. I slacked Marco in Slack, where I think I might be shadow banned. Because I see my messages, but I don't think anybody else is.
I see them. I just don't respond to them. It's a power move.
If you guys end up fucking this up, I get two more terms for free.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, then it's Ivanka.
That's they call it Castle Doctrine. Alexa, go home! Alexa, stop!
Cameron, can you call Max? Is he doing a bit? Oh, God. He's... Oh, my God. Oh, my God!
No, he's being funny. He's doing jokes.
I don't. He knows that
he's been rewarded throughout his life for doing jokes.
Yeah,
and like when we need him to do the program, he's doing jokes.
All right, Cameron.
It's very selfish. It's like jacking off on your wedding day. It's like a Alanis Morissette song. You're supposed to save that for your lady friend.
All right.
So Max, you could see in the super secret text channel that Max is telling us that he's on Skype and he's provided to us
what he thinks is the handle, which Cameron is trying now.
Well, he sent before all of this started, he'd sent me a thing to say earlier that he was on Skype, and he sent that from Skype.
Oh my
God. So let me go look and see if I can find that in my history. But what's his name? Oh, this is a terrible app. Oh man. Okay. So wait, where do I find his information? Oh wait. Oh, here he is.
Hello?
Oh, there he is. Okay, so that's not actually his handle. Hey, buddy.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. You're a little choppy. Chirpy.
Oh, fuck. The internet is so bad here.
I'm on Skype.
Well, we couldn't find Max on Skype, but you found Max on Skype, so we're all good.
Found Max on Skype.
And we're trying to find...
Max gave us a false flag. Uh-huh. I think he sent us the wrong handle.
Yeah. I've got many Skype handles.
I couldn't... So what happened was Skype kept making me, like, log in and two-factor authenticate into my account over and over. After a long, arduous journey, I was able to eventually successfully log into Skype, but then it wasn't my normal handle. So I don't know. Maybe I've been hacked.
Retro.
I might have been hicked.
Yeah, I got hicked. Yeah. I think we've been shadow banned. Why is Marco not talking to us anymore?
Oh, no. We could call Tiff.
Yeah.
I don't know that Marco has a lot of experience in this kind of, you know, creative project. He's probably got to get a lot of stuff plugged in.
Get the right headphones.
Do we know that he owns a nice microphone?
I think at least one.
I don't want him to talk right into his MacBook Pro. It won't sound good.
Orientation week, 1986. I was talking to a woman in a beret at my college, a woman my age, and we were talking, and she was talking a lot about art. And I said, "Oh wow, you really know a lot about 19th century French painters and 20th century French painters, European painters." And she said, "Yeah, it's a big interest of mine." And then I said, "Are you an artist?" She says, "No, I'm more of an artiste." And I still don't know what that means. But I think
did you just eat like a Madeleine cookie? What happened?
spill the tea on my Madeleine because I came. I might have done a follow-up question. It was a long time ago, but I feel like what she's trying to say is she's not a producer of fine art, but she's an appreciator. What I'm trying to say to you is maybe that's Marco's thing. That's his secret. He's an artiste all along. Maybe he doesn't own any of the microphones and headphones, but he's super interested in them. He sends them all back. He does a Hurley, full Hurley. Should we tweet at him?
I think that's going
to
help.
We may have to go outside the normal channels.
Let's cancel him.
Oh, God.
Marco Arment.
I'm going to tweet him the black lady clapping.
Call your office. Is that what people say? Call your office? MarcoArment.
Marco Arment.
SIRAC.
USA Syracuse.
Say somebody should do an NFL style logo that says USA Syracuse on it.
Oh, that's staying in the show. Yes, it would be very, very cool.
USA Syracuse. That would be so, you know what I'm talking about? Like, is the NFL the one with that cool like shield logo?
Yeah, not my flag. Woo, that's a very good one.
yeah, you look at that NFL.
Uh-huh. Okay, I tweeted to Marco.
No. I did too. I'm not late, it's tomorrow. Oh, shit, dog. What?
What?
He's got receipts. He sent his calendar.
Did I do that? This is 100% my fault then. 1,000% my fault.
Wait, how did I get...
Wait, hold on, though.
Wait a minute.
No, it's definitely today. We're all on Skype.
I'm sure that it's my fault, but I don't know how it's my fault.
It's your fault, but is it your problem?
It is both. okay, hold on. Nope, it's 100% my fault. I said October 3rd.
No.
It's 100% my fault.
Oh, no.
It's 100% my fault. Yep, we've got it. My fault, my problem.
Oh, no. Is this the pre-show?
This is it, baby. This is the show. Challenge, get Marco to dial into your podcast.
Of all the situations I find myself, though, in regards to... situations with people, not necessarily Max or Merlin, just people with the show. Normally, it's never my fault, but often my problem. So I will happily say this is 100% my fault. Absolutely.
But it's our problem.
Yep. And now I have transferred the problem.
Oh my God. It's always this is, you have such the wrong read on this. It's always everyone else's fault and my problem.
I don't know if I buy that. Yeah, I don't know.
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's ever been a situation where it's always someone else's fault and my problem. That's always how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Chapo because I was just listening.
Oh my God.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. Hey.
This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, check out knives and flashlights.
Hey, it's our fault and our problem. We screwed up.
I'm sorry.
Due by Friday.
Sorry.
Why am I on video?
What? No video.
Oh,
no video, Jerry.
Oh.
It defaulted me to video for some reason. How
oh,
the hell did I turn this
shit,
off?
No.
No,
oh,
no.
No.
There we go. Oh, thank God.
You have to get a new computer.
Oh. Okay. Bad boy.
What was that weirdo blur it was doing?
Oh, is it doing that Amazon type effect where it's like, guess what? I'm about to show your penis.
Guess what? You better finish. Get out of here.
Balls. Finish.
Let's
faster.
All hope that we don't have capture extended frame on.
Yeah. Continued on next penis. All right. So, sorry about that, Marco. Oh.
It's all right. I'm a professional podcaster. I can be ready in a moment's notice.
Where did you get that? Marco, did you invent that quote or did you discover it somewhere? It's not my fault, but it is my problem. Because I think about it and I use it all the time. Do you know where you discovered it? I first heard it from you is what I'm trying to say. Is that your invention?
I think it's my invention, but I could have like heard it sometime before that and just forgotten where I got it from. But I think it's my invention.
It's so good.
I should get that as a license plate.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Someone should in this room. Someone on this podcast should. I don't know who.
Not it. Yeah, that'd be funny, Max.
Oh.
Can I have some...
Hi, Marco.
I have some breaking Disney news and reviews that you can use.
All right, as hot as Max is, there's another hotness here. Merlin, what? Could you please introduce our guest who's worked so very hard to get onto this program?
Oh, we all know who Marco is.
This is our friend of the show, Marco Arment, and we're very excited to have him. He's going to share some of his wisdom with us today, and hopefully friendship. We owe him an amends for really screwing this up. But hey, Marco, thanks for joining us on Dude by Friday.
Hey, yeah, thanks. It's good to be here. I hope we talk about...
I called you a coward on the internet.
Hope we talk about nuts.com.
Do you want to plug your car podcast?
I'm glad. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Oh, God.
My goodness. I showed that to my daughter in the lift yesterday, and her mouth was agape. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, plug your car podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ATP.FM. It's all about cars and occasionally Apple's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And partner of Marco. Why did I make it all gay? Wife of Marco, Tiff Arment, has... Quinn, you can keep that in.
You sound like unmedicated Yoda sometimes. Listener sharing accommodations with podcaster does.
Marco and Tiff Arment have Matthew's favorite show called Top 4, and people should listen to that if they don't like the car show, because it's very, very good.
I was so triggered by a Top 4 episode recently.
Join the club, Max.
There's some things we just should never say on the internet, because then you're just going to hear about it fucking forever.
Oh, I was so upset by that.
You're snot boogie now. You're snot boogie for the rest of your life. You're going
to
be Iron
Coffee sending
Boy.
It. People kept sending it to me too. They kept linking me and linking me. I don't love
okay,
to know about
say,
it.
If we're going to interrupt the interruption to the interruption, say the story, Max. What is it our friend Marco did?
I actually would love to get into this for a minute, because I am so confused about the decision making tree that led to the state of affairs. But Marco was staying in a okay. So I want to say that we know from the story that Marco told that it was a nice hotel. It was a fancy hotel. And he needed to make coffee for some reason, but there was no means to make coffee. And so he took the hotel iron, which, quote, looked clean, and then made the hot water and the iron.
Brand new. It looked brand new.
It looked brand new. And then heated the water.
So less clean then. It's been a warehouse.
In the hotel iron, and then made like a, was it a Starbucks Via?
No, it was a Swift Cup, my preferred instant coffee. But it's a similar kind of thing, you know, fancy instant coffee.
Why? I have so many questions. But
and to clarify, like, I didn't put the instant coffee into the iron.
You know that you can get coffee in a hotel.
Yes, I do. See, here's the thing. So, you know, in most hotel rooms, it wouldn't be a problem. Most hotel rooms have a kettle or something you can make hot water with.
Worse than the iron, though.
A straight up kettle, I'm not sure. If it's like a full coffee maker, those are often pretty gross. But like a straight up kettle, I don't think it's too bad, because you can see all the surfaces and you can kind of judge there. Whereas like, you know, a regular drip coffee maker, you know, you can't really see where all that water's going and on the inside and everything. Anyway, so I needed a way to heat water, and this hotel was fancy enough that they don't even have coffee makers in the rooms, because they want you to go downstairs to the casino and buy coffee there.
Yep.
And
a lot of times they're either. So that's the thing, is like, you try and get like a fucking, like a Marriott. You're like, can I please, like, if I don't want to go down to the pantry, love the pantry, but can I please have a refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
And a heaty thing. Other places are like, oh, no, sir, there are no ice machines. We'll have the man bring ice to you. I'm like, I don't want the man to bring ice to me. It's part of my ritual.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's no ice machines in these hotels. There's no like refrigerator space except for the mini fridge.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted coffee because we had just gotten there. It was we had just flown in. So I had some jet lag. It was late. I wanted some coffee to keep me up. I didn't want to go downstairs to get the shitty coffee at the bottom, because the thing is, the law of hot places that have hot weather always have the shittiest coffee. So this was Las Vegas, and it totally holds up there. I mean, like, it gets worse as you get further south. Like, Arizona is the worst, but like, you know, Las Vegas, not good coffee there. You know, your best bet is go downstairs, get an espresso, because the floor of how bad espresso can be is much higher than the floor of how bad drip coffee can be. Oh, yeah. So that's always my rule. Like, when I'm traveling, I just stick with espresso, because it's going to be less bad than everything else I can get. But when I have my fancy instant coffee, all I need is a way to make some hot water, and I can have good coffee. So that's what I chose to do. And there happened to be an appliance in the room that could make hot water
Certainly never utilized by a lonely German.
Mm-hmm. No, and I had a travel mug to brew it in, so all I needed was something to make hot water and pour it into my travel mug. And the water from the tap wasn't hot enough.
Yeah.
So I started with tap water. I poured it in and, you know, let the iron heat it up for a long time on like this super max steam cycle, and then dumped it into my travel mug, and it was glorious.
Marco, I think you'd do well in prison. You'd be one of those guys who hooks up like a 9-volt battery to the hair iron to like turn your
artisanal toilet wine,
your Doritos into like a ramen noodle or something.
Yeah.
if it gets hot enough, it's going to disinfect it, right? This is why we need Dr. Don. But he's heating it.
That's what I thought.
Well, it turns out Dr. Don weighed in on this in our private Slack channel, and he vindicated me. He said that sounded like a low risk.
See, this is why I increasingly have a problem with Dr. Don. I mean, do you have my back on this, Max? Doesn't it seem like he is a man? He says he's a doctor. He seems like somebody that we could trust, and he's always like, oh, turns out, or like, it depends. No, it doesn't depend. A German came in that and made a shirt flat. That's not a coffee-making place. That's for German cum and blue shirts. Jesus Christ, Don. I'm not going to call you doctor anymore. Now you're Mr. Don.
Why is it that whenever I ask Dr. Don if it's like safe to eat bananas, he always goes, oh, well, we haven't done studies on that, and I don't know the risk factors, and there's a certain the percentages of this and that. But when Marco's like, can I cook in my hotel iron? He's like, oh, absolutely. That's fine. That's great. We love to see it.
Anyway, thanks for coming on the show. Look at stormtroopers.
Yeah,
what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm in the wonderful city of Orlando, Florida, where everything is very sticky and moldy.
Don't get coffee there.
You know what? So far, the law of hot places holds up quite well.
There goes the Disney Wi-Fi. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, don't get Wi-Fi there either.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, there he is.
There
hey,
we
buddy.
Are. Got
Am
it.
Am I back?
Mm-hmm.
Am I back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so cool. I love it. So I was able to replicate the law of hot weather repeatedly on this trip already.
Yeah.
But I'm here for the Genie convention, which is Genie Magazine's annual magic convention. And it was kind of a last minute trip. And we got it. I'm here with a friend of the show, Jordan. We got in yesterday, and we had a little bit of free time. So we just sort of went to Disney. We were like, we have some time. We're in Orlando. Let's go. And we strolled into Epcot because that's kind of the coolest proprietary park in Orlando. And it turns out that we were there on like a huge Epcot day. Because it was the...
Yeah, Food and Wine Week.
It's Food and Wine Festival, which is delightful. Wow. But it was also the first ever performance that evening of the new light show over the lake, which is called Epcot Forever. And we just this is not planned. I'm not like a Disney vlogger now, but like we just happened to be there. And also, I believe the new thing, which is the gondolas that connect all the parks. I think it opened this weekend, and we went on it.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Oh, cool. Like a sky ride?
Yes, it is so fucking cool. It is total Disney magic. It moves so fast. The views are awesome. It is like such a futuristic, like it feels like old school Disney. It's like cool transit, you know? I love it.
That used to be the best way that when I was a kid and we'd go to Orlando when there was only the Magic Kingdom. Back in the 1920s. There's a Skyway. It was called Skyway to Tomorrowland, Skyway to Fantasyland. And you could basically do a diagonal across the park in the air. And it was so freaking fun and fast. It's the best way. It's the only way to fly.
So, yeah, we were walking around Epcot yesterday. And we were like, you know what would be cool is we had sort of exhausted the stuff to do at Epcot. And we were like, you know what would be cool is if we could go to Star Wars Land for 1 hour and then come back to see the light show. And we were like, but how are we going to get there in time? And we happened to realize that this thing had just opened. We jumped on it. It was 8 miles in like 5 minutes. It was so fast.
Hmm.
Wow. It was so cool. And so we went over to MGM. We saw Star Wars for a little bit. Star Wars fucking ruled. I did not get enough time to like fully take everything in, but
no, is this the new thing? I'm kind of confused. I'm confused, Max. Is this where you can like wait in line and then like fly the Millennium Falcon and you get the blue milk
and
all that?
It's that whole world. Oh, wow. It's in Florida. It opened in Florida.
And this is the good one. The good one at Disney World.
Allegedly, they're basically the same. But
is they also have the Avatar there, or is that...
That is also in Orlando. Yeah. So, I can't believe people are complaining about Star Wars. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life. My jaw was on the floor. I was filled with like a sense of childlike wonder. It was amazing. We should go. We should all do a vacation and go to Star Wars Land together. And then number two, the other funny thing was like, so they had the new light show, and it was so fucking cool. Like I was like jumping up and down. I was so excited by the fireworks show, and it was very nostalgic, and it had like music from all the old Epcot stuff that they're tearing down. And afterwards, you know, we were surrounded by the park was packed, and we were surrounded by like Disney vloggers and people. You know, there's like a whole cottage industry of people who like, you know, they like film and photograph and live stream all the new, whatever's new at Disney. I don't know if you guys are aware of this world.
Oh, just a little bit. Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's just if you watch One Defunct Land, that's going to be your recommendations forever. Like, there's so many like immersive Disney. And I'm not trying to throw shade, but like, yes, you're absolutely right. There's like this whole, at least on YouTube, that's my viewport into it. There's like this whole cottage industry of people reporting on aspects of theme parks in general, Disney in particular, but then getting extremely specific. There's like, I think there's like Haunted Mansion vloggers. Like they really get into it.
Yeah, it's a thing. And they were all there. I mean, it was a big to do and it was packed. And I saw this thing and I was like shitting my pants. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then afterwards, just out of curiosity, I went on Twitter and I did a search for Epcot, hashtag Epcot, because I was just like, I wonder what people are saying about that. And everyone was nitpicking and they're like, oh, I didn't like it. It wasn't as good as the old fireworks show. And I was like, you're out of your fucking mind if you didn't think that's the coolest thing you've ever seen. They had these huge kites flying in tight formation over the water being pulled by jet skis that were like running dark. So you couldn't even see that they were jet skis. And the kites were launching fireworks out of their tails. Like it was all choreographed to music and Walt Disney speaking. Like I what more do you want? Like what do you people want?
I don't know what you what answer you want from this.
I don't know. It was very frustrating.
Objectively, Star Wars fans are the worst, and I think they just kind of. I don't think you should speak ill of the Disney weirdos who live stream and Periscope from, let's say the Magic Castle premieres, but. The Star Wars people are just bitching the same way they would about Rian Johnson. So I just don't listen. Don't listen to them. It'll just make you sad. And just go and enjoy the fancy Dasani water bottles.
I did get a fancy Dasani water bottle.
Good, good. I'm glad.
And I ate a Ronto wrap.
Oh, okay. No, God, this is the worst audio.
Did you get a magic band?
No. I don't want to brag, but I am a Disney annual pass holder. So that means I have a little credit card, and I can just use that to stroll into the park whenever I want. I don't need a.
Did you say you didn't want to brag? Is that what you said?
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to brag. Yeah. It's just a fun fact about me.
You only have like a pin that less than 100 people in the world have. No big deal. Yeah. All right. Now that Max has triggered me, how are you doing, Marco? He's still there.
I was just zoning out during all the Disney talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to talk about Survivor next?
Let's do Mac.
You guys watching the new season?
How about political Twitter? This is all my favorite topics.
Oh my gosh, you guys! I have so much to say. Mac Pro coming soon. It's exciting. So wait, hang on. So are you not into theme park stuff at all? You have a youngster. Mm-hmm. Have you heard the siren song of fun theme park stuff in general? Because it is kind of fun to take a little kid there.
We haven't tried yet.
Not necessarily to Disney. Like our first theme park was Legoland, and it was actually like a good starter theme park.
Yeah, we haven't tried a whole lot yet because our son doesn't really get so super into like certain characters or anything. So like we don't really have much of a draw there. But I don't know. We should give it a try.
The whole Disney thing can be a little overwhelming and certainly costly, but
I gotta say, like, every description I've ever heard of what it's like to go to Disney from all of you on podcasts sounds like something that we would not enjoy.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, is you are the only person I know in my immediate, like, tech world that sort of, like, understands beaches and understands why they're shut up, Merlin. Like,
I hate beaches.
Understand,
you go,
it's hot, there's, like, sand, there's water. Exactly.
Marco, I was with you. I don't want to swim. I don't want sand. I don't want sun. I want everyone to be silent in air conditioning. That's a vacation.
How much beach can you really do? I mean, you go there, oh, you look God. At it. What are you going to read for a little bit? And then you're done. It's like, did you watch a YouTube video of the beach?
What I get out of the beach is not just being in the sun, on the sand, and in the water itself. When you're near the beach, the air is different. The climate is different. The people are different. And so I actually just enjoy being in the beach town. Like, I like living at the beach for a few weeks or a month or 2 months or whatever.
That,
like,
that totally
I
makes
like
sense.
That is way different than taking a day trip to the beach to be on the sand. Like, that, I don't enjoy that very much either. When I'm at the beach, I'm hardly ever on the beach.
I'm just proud of you for swimming. I was really proud of you for swimming. I was really glad to hear that. That's really cool that you did that. That took guts.
Thank you. Yeah, it's it was a thing.
It does. It does. I mean, like, it's a horrible nemesis, the sea. It wants to kill you.
Yes, it sure does.
Do you ever go in a body of water and you're swimming and, like, a little piece of seaweed touches your foot?
Oh.
And then you think you're going to die? That's a yearly occurrence.
Yeah, you're like, "Well, what is that? A giant squid? What is that?"
It's another one of these, like, so, like, maybe beaches and, like, a theme park are our sort of, like, counterparts, where, like, for me, like, the idea of going somewhere and, like, you pay way too much for a hotel room, but then it's, like, you're steps away from walking into the park and you get in early, and it's, like, it's the mandatory fun of, oh, but beaches are great. And it's, like, no, they're not. It's a hellscape. Do you have any idea how many second-degree burns I've gotten from that giant busted-ass star? I'm all fucked up from sun. I lived in fucking Florida. I spent my entire youth carrying 2 to 3 shirts with me at all times. Is heat fun? No, it is not. And sand is bad, and it gets on your Johnson. Get away. Go back in the air conditioning.
Oh,
it's terrible.
You don't get
That's
to
no
a
way to live.
You don't have.
I don't get to what? Because you don't get pockets. I have to go sit on sand in the heat.
You
boo.
No. I have a permanent pocket where you have a Johnson. So there. <it's>,
So thanks for coming on. Sorry, we had the wrong thing.
Oh, boy.
Permanent pocket. That's adorable. Permanent.
Well, it's true. You get to keep.
I'm sorry. I had to move my quiet keyboard because I'm photographing knives.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I'm trying to get somebody to. I don't have an intern now, so I know it's.
Oh, no.
Life is very hard.
Did you have to return it?
I did. I had to drive down to Champaign.
Turn in,
like,
your intern?
Here you go.
intern for what? So are we done? Are we all about done? Should we head out, get some pho?
How often do you order pho? I shouldn't say how often.
Why do you care what I eat? Why does that matter what I eat?
No. I'm curious how often you order your pho before we've ended the show, but also how far we get into the show before you order the pho or any type of food.
If you're genuinely curious, I will tell you. Sometimes I will order it when I suspect we're into or beginning the after show. And I mean, like, without compromising my OPSEC, my arrangements have changed a little bit to where I don't have to do as much super time to pick up in the afternoon. So I do have more time, but I also get hungry because I'm not a morning eater. I wish I were a morning eater. I want to become a high protein morning eater. It's a project and I still haven't arrived. I need easy morning protein.
Eggs?
Then you make a pan. You got to clean the pan, you know?
Yeah, but it's not like. You can get, like, a decent nonstick pan for no money, and you just,
oh,
like...
God.
Here comes the expense.
Here we go.
No, I'm saying nonstick pans are not a thing that needs to be expensive. The expensive ones are not actually better. They don't actually last longer. So you can just get, like, 5 cheap ones, and,
no,
like,
right.
And, like, when one starts becoming a stick pan, you throw it away, you get the next one.
Yeah, we got a ceramic kettle on.
Merlin, is the issue that you don't know what to make for breakfast, or you don't have the right gadgets or whatever, or is the issue that you wake up and you're not hungry?
I'm very uncomfortable with this becoming about my proteins, my morning protein.
Why don't you use the that egg tube extruder thing?
We got
the
Rolly. Oh my God.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, I have so many things that have come to me through this show that are just so challenging to have in the house. No, I could do that. I could also see. I try to avoid the. You know what? This is super boring. My thing is, I learned a long time ago when I pretty easily dropped 20 pounds on Atkins that and improved my health. I learned a long time ago that carbohydrates are my frenemy. I need to be very careful with carbohydrates because they harm my health and they make me feel sad. And so, like, I like a high protein thing, but I live in this neighborhood where, like, I want to be able to walk in somewhere and say, like, could you produce for me a large piece of ham with an egg on it, and I'll just eat that while I walk down the street like a weirdo. Or ride my Segway, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And, like, but everything's bread and bread and bread. I don't know, rice noodles, I'll fuck with some rice noodles. But, like, I don't like to go too crazy with the easy breads. And that's my problem. Because my family enjoys an easy bread, and it's a very carb-centric thing.
No, I'm totally with you on low carb stuff, which is why eggs are the answer. Breakfast is the easiest meal to fix this way.
Okay, like, okay. So it would help if I had to spend money. It would help if you made me or caused me to buy a pan. So before we're done,
all right, buy five cheap nonstick pans. make a file.
All right, this is why, Merlin, I can't believe you've been poo-pooing my egg salad challenge all these weeks, week after week. No. I just keep asking to do the egg salad.
Egg salad is not eggs. Oh my goodness. Just adding salad to a word.
So I have to admit, I actually just heard that because I am two episodes behind on this podcast, which I was going to fix before we recorded on our scheduled day, Alex.
Whoops.
But, I know.
But I am totally up for the egg salad challenge.
Oh, wow. We owe you one. You should come back for that.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Marco and I should just do our own. We should do our own show where every week we make and review a new egg salad recipe.
I wasn't aware that there were that many options.
Can I pitch you my... Marco, I'm not sure that you saw this. Can I pitch you my podcast idea?
Absolutely.
I have a good show for me and you to do. So here's the deal. So you said on our super secret channel some time ago that the length of USB-C cable that you own affects the charging of your device.
I don't think I said that.
That was me.
Because that's not actually true.
Maybe it was something. Did you say something about USB-C? Didn't you say the 6-foot cable charge?
It's the girth.
The girth?
Yeah.
Oh, the circumference?
Well, the cables all have a maximum power wattage. Now, what's interesting is that Apple's USB-C to C, quote, charging cables, which are only USB 2.0 speed, seem to have no maximum power draw. Like, you can charge, I've tried this, I can charge my laptop at full 60 watts, it's a 13-inch, full 60 watts over Apple's skinny little USB charge cable. So I just have a bunch of those now.
Yeah, I've been trying to see if it gets warmer. Okay, fine. Max,
it doesn't.
Yeah, right? It's dark magic. All right, salads. All right.
No. So listen, here's my podcast idea. So I think that I don't know anything about cables. I buy them at random and I have no idea what affects me and what doesn't affect me. So I think we should start a podcast just every week where you explain one thing about one type of cable. And it's like 5 minutes long every week. And every week we take a new kind of cable and we're like, HDMI cables. Like, what do I need to know? Go. And I already have a title for the show. It's called Cable News with Marco Arment.
Yeah.
Yes, that is good. That we have to do.
Oh. Isn't this a good podcast? Man. And it's literally just about cables. And it's like, it doesn't even have to be regular. We could just do it when there's news about cables.
Which is so frequent.
There's always news about cables.
Like, our big thing is we like wait in line. We're in the Apple store day one to buy all the new cables.
could it also involve this is your show, but one thing that would interest me also is like HDMI thing that's huge, because like, will this handle like super Blu-ray? Like, there's only, and what right. port will this work with, and there's all that kind of stuff, and the for example, but then also stuff like, could it be like dongles and pseudo dongles, because I bought me some of those little L adapters that like let you not have your HDMI coming straight out the side of the TV. Like stuff like that, where like, make your life better for $10. You know what I'm talking about? You buy these things.
Yeah, totally. Allowing yourself to buy exactly the best cable for each thing you need a cable for is one of life's great undiscovered pleasures for most people.
See, this is the show writes itself. The show writes itself. That's the intro. We have some computer. We have some bleep bloop music. It's Marco Arment's voice fades in.
Cable news.
The intro
cable
quote.
News.
Cable.
Yeah.
Breakmaster Cylinder.
We have at least two or three listeners.
Absolutely. 100%.
We get Alex at least. Maybe Merlin.
You got me. I'm right here.
You know I'd be
here. Wait, Marco, check this out. Sponsored by Monster Cable.
No, but they're the worst.
No, you got to get the gold
I'll
ones.
I'll take their money.
That's the problem. Get the gold
has
ones.
To be sponsored by, like, Mono Price.
Sponsored by Mono? Oh, my God. This is such a good idea. This is
really
best. I'm never going to have a better idea than this.
Well, yeah.
I hope that's not true.
I really want
a job. Start looking for work. Start looking for work, Alex.
I
You're
know.
Done. He's peaked. He and the Joshes have peaked. My lady, so this is my version of that. So yes, first of all, I don't like to talk too much about this. It's like complaining about your housekeeper. But the I do have a separate set of everything for everything. So I have a travel.
Absolutely.
Like you talk about on your show, and it's
that's just step one. Step one is like allowing yourself to have more cables than you think you need so that you can stash them in places.
Don't buy Claritin after you've run out. Buy it before you run
out.
That's life, man. Two is one, one is none. But here's another funny thing. That's me and smart stuff. I have so much smart stuff still in a box. I have a banker's box full of unopened smart devices as tests and as backups, and because they came in multiples, and yeah, I got more tiles than I need for now. But like my lady, her tap switch, her Hue tap switch wasn't working. I was like, not a problem.
I'm shocked.
I grabbed the banker's box, and in like 4 minutes, I installed a brand new tap switch that I had in a banker's box, and she wasn't that impressed.
I gotta say, I'm feeling real down on smart home stuff right now. I've had all this stuff. I have multiple different systems. I have HomeKit. I have Amazon Dingus. I have from Lightbulbs. I have Philips Hue and LifeX, and I have smart Wemo switches and all this stuff. And it's all varying degrees of garbage. I haven't done the whole Max thing with the Cassetta thing yet. But
they're all terrible in different ways, and they don't work together. It's the worst of every world.
And the worst thing is they do work for like a few weeks. And then something changes and they break.
Oh, you mean you're talking about like build quality? Like build quality?
No. I'm talking about just like the software loses track of itself, or it stops responding to commands, or it loses the integration with HomeKit or something. There's always the littlest things just break your setup. It's such you form such fragile setups with these things. Mm-hmm. And then, now my house doesn't work. Like it just drives me nuts. Like every single day, I now have enough smart home stuff that every single day, something about it fails.
So the one good thing that I figured out is the Lutron Radio Raw 2 system, which I had like professionally installed in my house. And I will say that thing has 100% uptime. It's been probably about 1 year, and it has never not worked. Like, I have it all on HomeKit. It works with my Siri balls. Like, Veronica is occasionally frustrated by it, but we were staying in a hotel. We were staying in a hotel recently, and we were trying to go to sleep, and she told Siri to turn the lights off. And I was like, great, great victory. Mm-hmm. I was like, you didn't even know that we don't have that in the hotel room. But,
it's so great. You successfully traumatized.
No, it's
yay!
It is so reliable. And
she's broken inside like me now.
The only problem is occasionally I need to add a new light switch or just change something in the house or whatever, and I am so cucked by this system. I can't change anything myself. Like, I have to call this.
Don't you have to hire the technician?
Yes, the guy has to come. I have to call the company.
Yeah, no
and the
way
guy
I'm doing
has
that.
To come out. And they send some Chad out, and he comes in with his chiseled jawline, and he hooks his 1998 Dell, Toughbook up, and he goes into the command line and starts tapping away at it, and somehow makes all my lights talk to each other.
And all your Bitcoin's gone. Oh no, my Bitcoin.
And I'm so cucked by the system. Like I can't fix it or change it by myself. I don't like that at all.
Like, what to me, like, the whole appeal of the smart home stuff is you can get these little niceties that, oh, every day you use it and it automates itself and you save yourself some time. It's really pleasant, and that builds up over time, and it's worth the hassle. But then the problem, and that you, it truly feels that way for like the first few weeks or months that you have it. And then, unfortunately, things start breaking or changing, or software updates break things, or God knows what else. Apple breaks things, who knows what. And then all that built-up surplus of niceness and delight and save time gets eroded very quickly. And like now, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I just hate everything. I want to undo all of it and just make everything dumb again.
It's the drafts of home appliances, in that its true purpose. True purpose is not to save you time writing notes, but to give you a thing that you can configure.
You should switch over to the Bear of smart home, where you get a picture of an Alexa. Like, it's a PDF. You can look at it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a regular writing program. Here's the other thing is that what sucks is things breaking, you don't know it. Like, and this is like always an ongoing bitch for me with, like, when we talk about this on Back to Work, is like when things silently stop working, like, oh, you forgot to do the firmware and accept the EULA update or something like that.
Yeah.
And something that's like, this is dumb to other people, but important to me, is I do a lot of quantification and tracking of stuff. And to just find out that a month ago it stopped working is really frustrating. There's also the stuff where it's just a lot of what I appreciate about this is getting to where, and again, stuff like the Hue tap switch can be a game changer with this. Like, now, Alex, we've talked and I've joked about you living in the house where you have to yell at your lamps. Having a tap switch in every room changes everything if you're a Hue family. And that's so great, stuff like that. But then you eventually, now you're fucking cucked, because now I'm all about the sensors. I want sensors and location. And location to give me the Jetsons home. And you know what? I'll get just close enough that I start to believe in the Lord. And then guess what? Suddenly my canary is turned on and there's my dick. Like, it's just running now because the geofence is too close to this other geofence, and the triangulation of these two things doesn't work. And now I'm screaming at everything and it can't work because guess what? Motion has been detected. Heat above 71. What is happening? And it's like, because these are all these different islands, you're hopping between these islands and it feels really convenient till the day that it doesn't work. And it's like, that's where it gets like crazy frustrating. Or like Jason Snell talking the other day about, you know, I think he's got an August smart lock, but the Bluetooth won't work on, it'll work with his phone, but it doesn't work with his watch. So he has these great, you know, smart home locks. But like, if you're still having to like think every time you leave the house, do I have the right mix? This is not a criticism of Jason. This is my fucking life. Do I have the right mix of stuff that this will continue to work and do what it needs to in my absence and or other people's presence? And then it's not fun anymore. Now you're living in a Jetsons hellscape.
Yeah. And I've honestly found, like, I think 99% of the value I get out of all the smart home stuff I've used so far could have also just been done by one of those like 70s timer outlet switches. It just has like the two big dials and you just hour roughly should this turn on and turn off. Like, that is like the vast majority of value I've gotten out of this, and everything else has just been headaches.
Okay, but could the 70s dial make a cardboard cutout of Michael Jackson dance in your window in case there's like a burglar?
Yes, if you just put it on a turntable, yes.
Let's do our stuff.
Challenge.
All right, well, this week's challenge, I've been gunning for this challenge for quite a while, and this is two sort of mini topics that I don't know that individually they could sort of carry their own challenge, but together.
Point of order. Yes. Point of order. Can I suggest we cover the Marco-related primary part in this program, and then we could move to Daddy and his blades in the after.
Okay, well, the challenge this week, the challenge this week,
Daddy and the blades.
The challenge this week is Daddy and the blades. It's the knives and flashlights roundup, because this is a little subtopic that we all sort of, for no real reason, we just collect these knives and flashlights, and we're always talking about them and comparing them. And I have a whole
sad armory.
it's just there's none of us have any reason in our lives why we would need either of these items, but they're just so fun to collect. And I know Marco has a depth of knowledge on flashlights that's kind of astounding. He was going into the, well, I'm sure we'll hear about it, but there's like something with the wattage of the batteries to make it better. I don't.
This is what everyone wants to hear about.
Oh my God. I only know one of these models in this photo. I am so excited to learn about the whole extended Phoenix family.
These are beautiful. You should.
And then, Merlin's got, Merlin, and then maybe in the after show, we'll do a little knife roundup because we all have quite a few knives to talk about as well.
Got a few in front of me right now.
Oh boy. Oh.
I will be able to give you advice that will cost you a lot of money and get you arrested on Chicago public transit. So
yeah, are we allowed to talk about this in the state of Illinois? Is that a thing?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, as long as I just don't bring them on public transit. It's one of those. It's honestly. It seems.
What about Castle Doctrine? What about Castle? Aren't you allowed to stand your ground? Admiralty law? Isn't there some way you're allowed to carry? Isn't there some way you're allowed to carry an oversized knife on a train? Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying your ride. It's a 4-inch knife.
Here's the thing with both knives and flashlights for me is like I always had this funny circumstance that would happen in college, which was we were always trying to smoke weed, and in order to smoke weed, you need three things. You need the actual marijuana itself. You need some sort of implement like a rolling paper or a pipe, and then you need like a lighter or some or a match or just some way to get fire. And somehow we'd always wind up with two of the three. Like you'd have 12 people all trying to smoke weed together, and you couldn't between the 12 of you cobble together the three ingredients, right? To like something would always be missing. Like you'd have the fire and the weed, but no rolling papers or whatever. And it was always like a catastrophe. Like it was so like bumbling and incompetent. And as an adult, this is how I feel with knives and flashlights. Is I always need a knife or a flashlight and I never have one when I need it. And I own a bunch of them. They're like scattered throughout my house, but never at hand when I need it.
I mean, and the thing with, I don't know anything about knives. I'm not really a knife or gun person, and this is like this is very much like everyday carry tactical stuff that
come on, that's like saying I'm not really an ibuprofen or heroin.
No, but like, but it's hard to get very far into these worlds. See, also security cameras, right?
Oh, right, before you start running into nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes. If you start looking into, like, security cameras, flashlights,
Marco, you ever watch Lockpicking Lawyer? Lockpicking Lawyer is so great, but he's a fucking gun nut, and it only comes up after you watch, like, 40 videos.
Yeah, all of these, like, everyday carry people, they're all gun nuts, right? They all want to show you their guns, and they all fantasize about using their guns. So, like, I'm super not into that, and so, to me, I only care about the flashlight side of this. Even the knife side, like, you know, you'll talk about this, I guess, later. But, like, the knife side, like, I respect the utility of knives, but I don't care.
You don't have any guns? Yeah, what if someone tweets at your wife?
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do, throw Swift at them?
Oh, it would probably crash.
Okay, so here's one thing, and this is a very, very, very high level pop in the stack, as John Syracuse says. But here's the theme between these two things that are useful, is that like if you do get a little bit into the nerdery of what I'll just generally call pocket knives and what I'll generally call, you know, pocket flashlights, they are really, it's really useful to find the right thing, the right combination of things you need to deploy in your life, right? So the one that I'm, the Phoenix that you turned me on to, Marco, hangs on my backpack. Outside, it weighs nothing. I don't notice it. It doesn't even pull down on, you know, the backpack pull down kind of annoying thing.
Yeah,
it's
so
light, but it's like 320 lumens. Like it's right there. If I need to like go take out the trash in an alley, it's always there. But if the right knife for the job and the right flashlight for the job can be deployed, and so why would you need to think this much about flashlights? Well, as we'll talk about, there's a weird matrix of combinations of things. Yeah, you'll get a lot of lumens out of this, but like how long will the battery last, and like how easy is it to use if you have to turn it on really quickly? And that's all sounds silly, but like once you start having a flashlight, it's like carrying a pen, really. It's like suddenly you will find a use for it all the time. So that's the theme.
Well, and there's other things. There's like, it isn't just about like, you know, battery and weight, but also like how easily can you find these batteries if the apocalypse comes and zombies are everywhere and you run out of flashlight batteries? Like, can you just buy it at a store or do you have to like order it? Or
you're gonna need a USB charger for this one.
So you have a whole contingency plan where if the zombies come, you can get batteries for your flashlights, but you don't have any guns at all.
No guns at all.
Yeah, well, because it turns out, I hate to ruin this for everybody, but it turns out that zombies aren't real and power outages are.
Oh, shit. I've been preparing for the wrong apocalypse. Yeah. A day late, an apocalypse short. Fuck.
You'll be great if there's if you need to stab a bunch of things.
If I need to very quickly open a lot of break down a lot of Amazon boxes, my family will be fine.
Yeah, what if the scenario is like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, but it's Amazon deliveries?
Welcome. We're here to talk about stuff you carry and light or stab with. God, where do we begin with this? Where
I don't know what the challenge is anymore because I don't have any flashlights, but I got a lot of knives. And I mean, I will say I had been making fun of you all for quite a while, but then my power was out for, I think, 18 hours and couldn't get a... I thought I owned a crank flashlight. I don't. But
those are terrible.
But they're never out of battery. You just go crank, 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 and then it lights up.
Yeah, but you know, batteries are pretty easy to get.
Just give your money to KCRW. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need the. How do you? Maybe one way to approach this might be useful is, Marco, tell us about your background with this stuff, or maybe even just focus on like what kind of decision making goes into how you choose the right flashlight for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all for number one is size and weight. Like that, there are all these different size classes of these things. Like, and I don't like anything much bigger than the like biggest, heaviest ones I have are these are the ones that use two AA batteries. These would be the and Phoenix is my preferred brand. There's a few other brands that all make similar things, but Phoenix seems to have a really really good value for the money and really good quality for that. So anyway, the two AA models that I've had for a while are the LD22. And the old one is single AA, LD12. And those are great if you're limited yourself to AA batteries. AAA flashlights I find not like good enough for their size reduction. Like they are smaller and lighter, but like they're so much worse. AA is my size class usually. But what I discovered, which Max was alluding to earlier, is the world of lithium battery flashlights, which I think is fairly recent. And this, because like AA batteries, you know, regular batteries, they're 1.5 volts. Lithium are 3.6, 3.7. So like you can get a lot more voltage out of it. And it also handles fast discharging better, doesn't necessarily weigh as much as alkalines. So like lithium rechargeable batteries are the way
Marco,
to go.
Marco, are these fully interchangeable with my battery setup?
Well, your battery setup is full of Eneloop AAs, right?
Well, I don't even know anymore.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what to get. So... usually, for most people's needs, the two AA flashlights are a little bit big and a little bit heavy. If you're going to get just one fancy flashlight, the one I would suggest is the Phoenix LD12. This is and the new, like I think it's like the 2017 revision. We'll put the link in the show notes. So this is one that uses a single.
That is my as they say everyday carry.
Yes, it uses a single AA battery normally, and it can get pretty bright with that, but. Here's the trick. If you have a special lithium version, it's shaped like a AA, but you can't use it like one because it's higher voltage. You have to use a different charger for it, but it's called a 14500 cell. And if you have a 14500 battery, which are usually red and they're amazingly fun to charge up because they're so cool, I'm really boring.
No, you're not.
If you have one of those.
These ones are almost like the new...
So I can't put that in my Game Boy.
No, it would mess it up. And you need special chargers to charge it. But it's shaped like a AA, so it looks the same, so be careful. But anyway, this flashlight can, you know, it can take AAs, but if you put in a 14500 battery, it becomes way brighter and lasts for a longer time. Mm-hmm. Because it can use the higher voltage. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Like, I have a smaller one, which is also really fun, really nice, the PD25. That's super fun, super nice also, and that uses it uses a special kind of battery called this CR123A. Which you can get like little boxes of 20 of them and they last forever. They're lithium. Actually, that one has another interesting fact. Some of these batteries, the battery itself, there's Phoenix makes these little yellow batteries themselves that have USB input ports on the battery. So you can take the battery out of the flashlight, plug it into a micro USB, and charge up the battery from a micro USB cable wherever you are.
Oh my God.
So. Yep, that's the one I usually travel with. Is the PD25 for that reason? It's almost as bright as the LD12, but a little bit smaller, a little bit lighter, and has that USB rechargeable CR123A battery.
How big are we talking about? Like a Burt's Bees?
Bigger than that.
The battery or the flashlight?
I would say the size of a full-size chapstick.
A full-size chapstick.
Size?
What's yeah, like the a little bit smaller than a glue small? Stick.
Like family size. Family size.
A little bit smaller than a glue stick. Like a typical like school glue stick. A little bit smaller than that.
But what are you... Okay, wait, what's a big...
Are you able to see the photos that are being
sent,
what Max?
Big chaps? What big chaps? Oh, I'm not paying attention.
Okay.
So if you look in the chat, I showed you an iPhone SE for comparison. The two I'm talking about are the two on the left.
Oh, look at this. Ooh.
And there you can see mine. Mine's the brown table. His is the pretty one. But that one on the left is my LD12.
Yeah.
These look very tactical. Marco, I think you might be a tactical operator.
This is the problem. So, like, so when I'm looking at these, like, so many of them are like, you know, made for armed forces and police and tactical, and many of them
must be in Mossad to conduct yourself with this flashlight.
Many of them advertise a like tactical mode where it like strobes really brightly to try to like throw off attackers.
Oh no!
Yeah, anybody with epilepsy is fucked.
Yeah, like it's they all have these like special modes where like if you hold down the button the right way, it'll become a weapon.
But you don't want too many. Like, get my back on this. You don't want too many modes because now you're fucking around with your flashlight when all you want is something super bright for a second.
Yeah, zombies don't have epilepsy.
The modes thing. This is my number one opinion on flashlights. That is that I think the mode and the on-off should be two separate buttons.
Oh,
and if you turn it on, no matter how often or how quickly or how short you turn it on, it turns on to the whatever brightness you had it set to last time. And you know, all these flashlight brands, they all mess that up, except for this a very small handful of them. And this is why I buy a bunch of Phoenixes that all look pretty similar, because they have like some of their flashlights.
This is why I called it the digital watch, the digital watch button problem.
Yes, exactly.
It's like you don't want one button that does fucking everything. It's crazy. So like the Phoenix, like you say, on the butt of it, you've got the turn it on part. And then on near the top where the beam comes out, you've got this other thing you can click to change modes. But like the last thing you want to do if like assume an emergency, you know what I mean? Assume an emergency, and the last thing you want is a blinky light when you're like trying to get out of a car or something.
Well, I don't even assume an emergency. I assume a dog walk at night. But like, it's just annoying. It's annoying to like turn on the flashlight and it's way brighter, way dimmer. You have to like click it on, click it off, click it on, like hit some mode sequence thing. That's annoying. So these should be two separate buttons, and there are very, very few flashlights that separate those into two different buttons, especially at the smaller end. So that's why like the PD25 I think is the smallest one I found that does that. So PD25 is my good small one. LD12 new version is my good medium size one, and then I also have this big boy in the middle here that uses the same kind of battery that my car uses, which is kind of satisfying. This is the Phoenix UC35.
Oh man,
it's the only one of these that has a USB recharging port on the flashlight itself. So you just like flip back this little cover and you can plug in a micro USB and recharge the flashlight from the outside. It's pretty big, pretty heavy, way too big for like a pants pocket, but you know, fine for a bag. And it is ridiculously bright. It is just so comically bright for its size.
So just for our listeners who don't have a visual in front of them, and this tripped me up as well because I don't know how to say words. Phoenix is spelled FENIX, and you're the one you like here that's like your car is the FENIX Phoenix UC35.
And is that all the way on the right?
Middle one.
It's the one in the middle.
Big family chapstick.
Oh, it's the big kind of chode.
Yeah, like the battery inside of it is a lithium 18650, which is a very common battery cell that like many of our lithium battery powered things from like battery packs all the way up to Teslas are powered by large arrays of these things. So it looks like kind of like a fat AA.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating. Okay.
But yeah, like my car has 7,000 of these.
Whoa! Mm. That must get heavy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I've got. Wait, hang on. No, that's the Immolent. Which one's the Cree?
Yeah, you can build yourself a Tesla.
Yeah, you have an 18650 in there somewhere, right?
Yep, sure do.
Oh, yeah. Here he is.
Yeah, that blue butt one looks like about the right size for it.
Yeah, that's got a big the Immolent, and this one is the 26650.
Oh, that's smaller, I think. Or, no, that's bigger. I don't know.
Man, I
okay,
this,
ladies.
This
thanks
grippy...
for tuning in.
Now, these are all the same brand, right? These are all Phoenix. Is there like a different kind of texture on each of these, or are they all the same, like carbon fiber looking, not quite matte, but like extreme texture type thing? It looks very pleasant to hold.
Yeah, they all have the like the painted black metal. I think it's aluminum. Yeah, painted black metal bodies, and then they have like the knurled sections in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's the same. It, you know, if it looks different just from lighting, it's the same like kind of knurled texture on all of them.
Oh, I want an iPhone made out of this. My God. Oh, this.
Yeah,
is so
that'd
good.
Be great. You'd be able to hold on to it.
I know. It.
You know, one thing just to mention, if it seems like this is like ridiculous navel gazing, it is, but it's also fun. Like in the past, if you wanted to get pretty decent. I'm trying to give some reasoning why you might want to care about this. It's you don't have to care. Don't worry. It used to be in the past that if you wanted to get even halfway decent, you know, a level of light out of a flashlight, you had to have one of those big cop flashlights that holds like four or
the D
six.
Batteries.
Yeah, D batteries. Or even think about the Energizer that you could buy at the drugstore as a kid. The silver one with the red top that every Boy Scout had.
Yep, yep.
That was two Ds. And then an incandescent bulb? What do you call that kind of bulb?
Yep, a little incandescent bulb, and it would last like an hour maybe.
Right. Well, so what's different about these? Well, these are LED flashlights with so much more battery power pushing that out through the LED. So you get much more control of the beam. You get a lot more power in terms of milliamp hours that will hold, plus lumens that it will output. And that's all in a package that fits in your pocket. So why care about this? Don't worry. You don't need to care about this. But if you are wondering why would someone care about this, well, whether that's your glove box or the outside of of your backpack, or you know, somewhere in the basement, or like I have one by my kid's bed, you know, because if the lights go off, now she knows where there's a flashlight. But it doesn't need to be like a cop beating you over the head size flashlight. That's why I'm fascinated by what you can accomplish with the right combinations of things.
Because now like the little tiny one, like the smallest one I have here, is probably significantly brighter and with longer lasting battery than one of those giant D flashlights would have been like in 1995.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep thinking about the button situation, and I want there to be like a consortium of I don't know if that's the word, but I said that word right, of different companies who make different products, like keyboards, vibrators, phones, like every type of thing that could have a button. And
all the
why
great
can't
things.
There? Yeah, all the great buttons. And like, I feel like this is a problem that could be easily solved. And like, or light switch people. There should be every kind of switch. There should be that big USB. Like, okay, what's the standard? And just like a sharing of the patents should be shared.
What is it you want it to be? Is it consistency?
No, not consistency, but just like the, okay, you have a great button on this flashlight, you have a great button on this keyboard, and just have them all talk and be friends together. Everybody wins. I want like button
your flashlight
socialism.
What's your flashlight talking to?
What?
What's the flashlight's talking
to?
The
flashlight people should talk to like the vibrator people and the keyboard people and the what else has buttons? Oh, like the switchboard people, to all create great buttons.
Is this a place? This is the place you go in your mind palace where they all talk to you?
Yeah, they all talk about the buttons.
Hey buddy,
together.
It's me, Buzzy. It's me, Buzzy. I'm just checking in with you, light switch. I hope everything's good. You need to unwind a little bit.
Hold on. The same with the clips. Oh God, I didn't want it to be a vibrator joke, and now it's a vibrator joke.